Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're just tuning in, here's where we stand with Juan Soto. Number one, the honeymoon is over from Met fans. He's got to perform. He hasn't this year. And number two, whether it's true or not, there is now a perception that he hates being a New York Met. Bob Klapisch wrote earlier today that Met officials are now concerned about Soto's lack of enthusiasm for his new team. Quote, the only time Soto seemed happy this weekend was while he interacted with Judge, Aaron Boone, and Jazz Chisholm during batting practice. Whether that's true or not, I guess you could decide. Michael Kay is now saying people in the know say Soto wanted to remain with the Yankees, but his family convinced him to go to the New York Mets. Here's the problem. And I like Bob Klapisch, and I like Michael Kay.
Yeah.
So it's not about them, per se.
Right.
It's about who's telling you this.
Right. Do you know this for a fact, or is this secondhand through somebody else?
So here's what I'm speculating about, because I don't know, and Bob Klapisch and Michael would never reveal their sources, nor should they.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to speculate about their sources, because why not? It's fun.
Right.
The Yankees are probably saying that. The Yankees are probably saying, yeah, he always wanted to come back. It was that damn family that convinced him to go to Queens. I don't know what's true or not. I'm not pretending to. But when I see things like this, I also have to have, you know, my eyes are wide open to know that doesn't mean it's fact. Just because you're hearing this doesn't mean it's true. Here's my kind of philosophy on Juan Soto. Yes, he looks miserable. Yes, he looks like he's going through the motions. But I think it's because he's sucking right now.
Yes.
I think it's because he's frustrated that he's not performing right now. And once he hits, which I think he will at some point, you'll see the shuffle, you'll see the smiles, you'll see the handshakes. But I think right now you have a player that while his numbers are not the worst, they're not him, especially in big spots.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what Juan Soto needs to happen for him. And because Juan Soto is a great player, and when you know you're a great player, it is hard to suck. Like, in your, like, you know that you're getting judged by all those around you, whether that's in your locker room, whether that's the media, whoever. You know you're getting judged because you're underperforming what you know you should be doing. And that's what's bothering him. As soon as he starts playing great, and promise you, he'll be smiling, he'll have the handshakes with his teammates, all that stuff that we saw with the Yankees, you'll see happening with the Mets. It just, what are the opportunities for him to have done that? They're not there.
No, you're right. The other thing that comes out from this weekend that's sort of annoying is the idea that Juan Soto has a private jet and he flies to cities by himself. That is not true. I don't think Carl Ravitch even said that yesterday. He more said that his family has a jet.
Yes.
And his family is able to fly to cities. So even Jeff Passan cleared that up earlier today, saying Juan Soto does not fly separately from the New York Mets. He flies on the team plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he also says there's no private jet provision in his contract for him or his family. So he's even denying that part of the contract,
right,
that his family doesn't even have a private jet. So here's what's happened this weekend.
I mean, he might have a private jet, but it's probably his own private jet.
It's not coming from the Mets.
Right, it's not coming from the Mets.
What happened this weekend is the Mets lost 2 out of 3, and that sucks. No Met fans happy about it. It happens, but that's what happened. And because Soto did not have an impactful weekend, and because Soto didn't smile enough, and because Juan Soto refused to do an ESPN interview that he agreed to do and didn't do, and because of private jet discussions, and because of this and that, there is now just a common belief on Monday at 4:15 that Juan Soto hates the Mets, hates the borough of Queens, wants to secretly race as the Bronx Zoo at that stupid race at Citi Field, and wants to leave the New York Mets. It has become a horrible game of telephone tag in which all of a sudden Juan Soto's miserable. So there's only one thing left for Juan Soto to do. You're at Fenway Park tonight. Leave no doubt.
Yes.
These are big games for the Mets.
Get
Why?
Hot.
Because every game's a big game.
Right. Get hot.
Screw them. What was I trying to say? Not screw them.
Screw them.
School them.
School them.
I wasn't even actually trying to say screw. I apologize.
I thought you were going to say scrotum them. That's what it sounded like you were going for. By the way, there's a good chance he does because these are big games for the Yankees, too.
I know. It benefits you.
So maybe this is what Juan Soto needs to wake up.
Listen, man. You're such a jackass.
Am I wrong?
They are big games for the Yankees. True. And if so, what you're trying to tell me is, I appreciate this, Sean. If Juan Soto breaks out tonight and has a big series against the Red Sox, the spin coming from Bob Clappish, Michael Kay, and Sean Morash will be Juan Soto broke out because he really loves the Yankees so much he wanted to help them in the standings in the American
League. As dopey as this sounds, and I readily admit it, coming off the weekend he just came off with, feeling the vigor from Yankee fans and all of that, what better way to turn your head mentally and become a true Met than playing the three most important Mets games for the Yankees on the Mets schedule? Be a Yankee for the next 3 days. Juan, yeah. Here's your chance.
And now they have an 8-game lead on the
yeah, look, on the go, let's go. The Yankees are up 5 right now on the Red Sox. We could distance ourselves with a big Soto week here. I think this is big. Be a Yankee, Juan.
Can you say let's go, Mets?
Let's go, Mets.
I respect that.
Let's go, Mets. No, absolutely.
Dude, I'm the same way. You got to take your geographical rivals, put it to the side. It's all about the division. And the Mets do play the Red Sox tonight. They're also the only local team in town. Knicks obviously don't play. No NBA game, no NHL game, no Yankee game.
Yeah, it is nothing Mets, going on today.
Mets, Red Sox, and Monday Night Raw. Those are your options. I'm really hoping that Halliburton and Brunson show up on Raw and continue that angle from last
June.
Yeah,
but what can they do?
Stare at each other.
Exactly. They can't actually do anything.
Bro, I don't know where Roy is tonight. Do you know where Roy is tonight, Tommy?
I don't, but I'm going to look it up right now.
Look it up.
Because last year when they did it, it happened to be in the Garden.
It was at Madison Square Garden.
So that, I mean, it made perfect sense because obviously Jalen Brunson is already here. But
and it was also after they were both gone.
Yes.
Like, there was no active basketball going on, but they ran a wrestling angle with Jalen and Tyrese last year at the Garden. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was incredibly well done.
It was all awesome except for Tyrese Halliburton's jean shorts.
Yeah, you didn't like his shorts?
I just don't think they're back.
He was honoring John Cena. All I know is, and you think I'm joking, but I'm not. Put them both in the ring tonight with steel chairs. There's no physicality.
Right.
It will be so good for the NBA. So good for the NBA.
But how many people will get it?
Well, people will tune in once they hear.
I guess so.
Bro, when Jalen showed up on SmackDown, I was texting everybody. Like, bro, I texted Loogie.
Well,
we never text each other.
I think it was different last year because, I mean, they had just got knocked out of the playoffs.
I know, but this is even better. Brunson. But this is better, dude. It's 2 days before the series. No physicality. I'm not saying anything dumb has to happen. Hmm. They both get in the ring. They do like a Hogan Warrior stare down at each other. And then they both leave. The publicity for the NBA, the publicity for the WWE. Bro, it is there's no one loses in a situation like that.
Right.
Except for people who hate wrestling and they have to watch it. That's really all it is. Where is Raw tonight? Do we know the answer?
Yes, it's in Greenville, South Carolina. Oh. South Cackalack.
Oh, bro, that's nothing, man.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
South Carolina?
Indy to South Carolina. Then I mean, New York, it's easy to get there, but I don't see that happening.
That would be amazing. It would be all over that.
It'd be great.
We'll get to how Russell Wilson embarrassed himself over the weekend coming up in a few minutes, but let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Scott's in Manhattan. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Want to ask you a few questions about Juan Soto. So as of today, May 19th, he's hitting .246, 8 home runs, 20 RBIs. Do you guys think it is possible that by June 6th, he will have the same batting average, so .245, 10 home runs, 26 RBIs? We'll start there.
I mean, if that's the case,
I won't be... more home runs, 6 RBIs.
Yeah, it's very possible. I won't be happy if that's the case, but sure, it's possible.
Right.
Why?
Okay, so next thing is, do you think it's possible that he will end, not even possible, do you like his chances to finish this season with 35 home runs, 110 ribbies, and hitting close to .280?
I mean, right now, it's tough to like those chances. He's going to have to get hot. Like, his pace for RBIs is like 75, yeah. So he's going to have to start ripping.
And he's just
totally agree.
The biggest thing is he's not hitting with runners.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In scoring position, so that might be difficult.
But those numbers were not arbitrary, my friends. If you looked at 2023, on June 6th, he was hitting .240 with the Padres this last year. Because I remember, because when the Padres played the Mets in... around now, I was like, his numbers are garbage.
Right. But
then when they came back to the year, they were, what they typically are for Soto. So June 6th, 23, Soto at had 245 average, 10 home runs, 26 ribbies. Finished that season 275, 35 home runs, 110 ribbies.
No, you're right.
Respect for Soto. It's the back of the baseball card. This guy is, by the age of 22, he had mastered the strike zone.
Right.
Put some respect on Soto's name. Give this guy a couple of months. Not giving him a standing ovation in the first week of May because you think he's slumping. Let this guy have a full season, and then we can have the conversation about Soto ain't Soto.
No, you're right.
But I don't think anyone is suggesting.
I think the challenge is when you look at last year, it wasn't this.
No, he had one of the best years of his career last year.
It was not, let's just wait until June and figure it out. He was hot from jump.
I think most of us think Juan Soto will figure it out. What we're merely saying is
he's too good of a player not to.
Absolutely. All we're saying is they have won a lot of games without getting big contributions from Soto, but you're starting to see Alonso cool off. Lindor has been cooled off over the last week or so. They're going to need a hot Juan Soto. They're going to need that. And so I think that Met fans are looking at Juan Soto and not saying, boy, I regret the contract, or I don't want the player. I wish he stayed with the Yankees. I think they're saying, all right, buddy, let's freaking go. I'm not giving up on him. I don't think anyone's giving up on him, but it's go time.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that right now the Mets are playing average baseball, and they need Juan Soto so that they can play above average baseball.
Last year, Juan Soto hit .345 with runners in scoring position with an OPS over 1,000. This year, he's hitting .132 with runners in scoring position with an OPS of .476. Mm. That has to change, and it has to change soon. Alex in New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, Evan and Tiki?
All's good, man.
What's up?
I'm allowed to call in today. It's Monday. Tommy's prediction came out right. So I'm calling so that I will have the honor and privilege of positive Tommy gracefully giving me my L that I so much deserved, but will be so happy to win. If Tommy can give me my L, I'll be happy.
Tommy, you already gave Sean, Tiki, me, we all got L's. Can you give Alex a digital audio L for not believing the New York Knicks would beat the Boston Celtics?
I can. Alex, you will get an L for this, but I have good news, my friend, because you sound like a great Knicks fan. There's always time in this town, especially, to jump on the bandwagon. We saved you a seat. Knicks beat the Pacers. Don't doubt me this time, and we're all good to go. But enjoy that L. You'll have to wear it till Wednesday. Get a paper L and walk around. Yeah, like the Scarlet Letter. You got to walk around your town.
For a day. Yeah, it's one day, bro.
One day? I thought we decided this was going to be like 4 weeks.
No. It was a one-day L. We're all wearing it. Oh, by the way, speaking of the L wearing, tell me if you have an issue with this.
Go ahead.
So during the last break, I had to use the banyo. I had to use the bathroom. Had to, you know, do my thing. So I go in there. Of course, my L is on. Why would I take it off? I go to the bathroom. No problem. I wash my hands. I notice Sean at the next stall.
He took his off?
Took the L off. Is that allowed to take the L off while you, do your thing?
I think so.
Look, this is Tiki. I'm an L veteran. I speak from this from a veteran's point of view. You know, usually you have a good athlete's point of view?
Yeah.
I'm giving a good urination while wearing an L point of view.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not very good to get it smacked around by the L.
I am confident. A couple of those L's, one Tiki happens to be wearing, have a lot of splashback on them that haven't been properly sanitized, and I learned my lesson. Don't go pee with the L.
Yeah, smart.
So you support that?
Yes.
All right. I'm keeping my L on when I go to the bathroom. I'm very loyal. Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, Evan, Tiki? How are you guys?
All's good. What's up?
Good. What's up?
All right, so, Evan, you gave me a kick to the groin when you brought up the ESPN beeper.
Why? Why is that so bad?
Let me just say, you have no idea. Right, so set it back. It's about 1998. I'm working in a sporting goods store named Sports Depot, right? Making about like $10 to $12 an hour, me and a bunch of my friends from the neighborhood. That Valentine's Day, me and my friend RJ decided to take our girlfriends to Morton Steakhouse on the Lower West Side, far above our means. So we go there, and at the time, we had, like, this pick service that we were getting picks from that was pretty good.
Okay.
We were betting way over our heads.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who they were playing, but we bet the Florida Gators in college basketball plus, like, 3.5, right? We go there. My friend's girlfriend ordered a $300 bottle of wine. Oh. So I'm like, oh, my God, we better win these bets tonight. Now, we had Florida plus, like, 3.5. We added cheese, straight, money line. Relayed, parlay, souffle, any way you could think of it.
Okay.
Right? So throughout the dinner, we're sitting there and we're like looking, and I'm like giving him the eyes, like, what's going on? He's like giving me the thumbs up. We're good. We're good. Florida's up by 10. Florida's up by 15. Florida's up by, you know, whatever. Then all of a sudden, fourth quarter, I get the look. I'm like, what look? It was the shaking of the head. This is not good. Shaking of the head. This is not good. It turns out that Florida went from like plus winning by like 15. They lost by 10 within the final minute. This Valentine's Day cost me probably over $3,000 for a guy that was making $10 an hour at the time.
Nice.
And I don't think I have financially recovered. I'm 47 years old.
Oh, there you
that
go.
Was a downfall. Oh, lesson, it was the worst.
Lesson to all you young gamblers out there.
Yeah.
Bet within your means.
Yes. I mean, my God. But
it's funny that he associated it with the gambling.
Well, because
the gambling beeper.
That's what it was. Like, my parents got it for me because I loved sports. So it would give me sports scores and sports news, and it was great. But I remember at the time, this is 1996. I've even got the exact date. It was May 11th, 1996, Knicks Bulls. Bulls beat him in five. It was the one game the Knicks won. So if you had your bar mitzvah on May 11th, 1996, what up? That was me. I probably ruined it.
No. Apologize.
You want me to apologize?
Apologize.
I'm very sorry. I feel terrible about that. Especially because I hated the Knicks back then, too. I wasn't happy about it.
Right.
But I would use the beeper to see scores, but the beeper would always have, like, spreads.
Right.
Over-unders, everything. And I didn't understand it. I was 13 years old. But yeah, that was very popular for the gamblers. ESPN to go pager. It was a big deal back then. Nowadays, you just take your phone out.
Right. It's easy.
Different world. Let's go to Zach in New Jersey. Good afternoon, Zach.
Evan Tiki, what's up, guys?
All's good. What's up?
Ev, I called about Vientos' struggles on defense, but if you give me a chance after, I just want to give you a lineup suggestion for Soto.
Yes.
So do you think it's realistic to believe, first of all, on the Vientos' part, that Mendoza will go totally to Beatty at third, and Vientos to DH because it seems like it's necessary?
I thought yesterday,
because
even
of the
against,
error. You're talking because of his error?
No, it's not just because of the error. It's because Brett Beatty's looked great at third base and Mark Vientos has looked like crap.
Yeah,
that error is an example of it. But
hitting, what, 290-something?
But it doesn't affect the offense because Vientos would play every day. He would DH and Beatty would play third base. I suggested yesterday on the Rico that I did that even against a lefty like Fried, someone Beatty has seen six times, he was 2-for-6, play Brett Beatty at third base. He's earned it defensively. So I agree with you. I would expect the Met lineup, which may already be out, so I should check it, that's what you're going to see, that you're going to see Brett Beatty play third base and Vientos DHing, because right now the Mets don't have a DH. Jesse Winker's hurt. Starling Marte did have a double yesterday, but he hasn't produced a lot. So we should see most of the time, Zach, to your point, Vientos at DH and Brett Beatty at third base.
So the lineup is out, Vientos DH and Beatty at third.
There you go. I think we're going to see it most of the time against righties, but I would even do it against lefties.
Right.
Because you hurt yourself defensively when Mark Vientos is at third. And I'm surprised by it, T, because I thought last year Vientos took a major step forward defensively, and this year he's gone backwards.
Yeah, here's the lineup. Lindor at shortstop, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Vientos DH right behind Nimmo, then Beatty right behind him playing third base, Alvarez, McNeil at second, and Tyrone Taylor in center field.
There you go. That's your regular lineup for the most part.
Most
Acuna center. Sits, Taylor in center, McNeil at second. But, yeah, Vientos' defense has gone backwards. I can't fully explain that. Sean, turn the microphone on, please.
Sure.
Ready to apologize?
For what?
There's someone who deserves an apology from you. And this isn't about me, because if I made it about me, I'd say you should apologize to me. Mm. But it's not about me. It's about the person I defended and the person that you have ridiculed. You called him a corpse.
Oh,
you said he's done.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I would argue that this weekend, when you look at the Yankees winning 2 out of 3, Cody Bellinger, clear star. No question about it. Devin Williams, clear star. He looked great. But how about we stand up and we salute the return of La Machine, DJ LeMahieu.
Evan, in the next break, I need you to do me a favor.
Go ahead.
We have wonderful restroom facilities here at Odyssey, and in them you might find Q-tips that could be used to clean your ears. You might remember me saying specifically, I'm sure we're going to get 2 weeks where DJ LeMahieu looks awesome, which gives him a longer leash when he stinks all the way through August. We're in the midst of that, pal. You come back to me in a month, he's playing great, I'll give you your apology.
You know, you're all right with that take, or you think you should?
I mean, it's only been 4 games.
I know, but I'm excited.
Of course you are.
I am too,
but
I won the
four games.
Yes, And I did say that.
And
I
knew exactly what Sean did say.
There were three things on the Yankee side, because we've spent so much time talking about Soto. There were three Yankee-specific things that, to me, jumped out from the weekend. Number one, DJ LeMahieu looks good. A basic thing. You're right. He's got to do it a lot more, but he looks good.
He looked good playing second, too.
Absolutely. He made a couple of good defensive plays. So, DJ LeMahieu looks good. Number two, Devin Williams looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Williams may be all the way back. Now, I don't think Boone's going to mess around too much with him being the closer, per se, especially with the way Luke Weaver's throwing the baseball.
Right.
But I definitely think you have to feel better about Devin Williams. And I'll tell you something else about Devin Williams. One of the concerns laid out by some Yankee fans was this idea he couldn't handle New York.
Mm-hmm.
Subway Series, Pete Alonso twice, the electricity of the crowd, close game. I think Devin Williams showed you New York's not going to intimidate him.
If I were to rank Yankees, I walk away from the weekend. Forget all the Mets and Juan Soto stuff. Yankees, I walk away from this big stage and big moment. Bellinger 1, Williams 2, two guys that had struggled early in the year. I am fired up to see what the rest of the year has in store for them both.
Very good. Let's get to the third one. This is the negative. Anthony.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Volpe. Because Anthony Volpe didn't just leave eight men on base yesterday. That's bad enough. Yeah. It was the at-bats that he had.
The Brazabone one was bad.
3-0. Like, that was some ugly crap from the Volpster.
Mm.
So that's the big negative, I think,
take. It's a big negative because all you had to do was let him walk him. And he swung it three balls out of the zone and chased the bad one to get the final strikeout. Volpe doesn't seem like, sometimes he feels really calm in those moments. Other times he really doesn't. And I think in that moment, he wasn't calm. He was ready to be the hero instead of letting it just become the hero.
I think that for me, it's May 19th now. I think Volpe is what he is. He's a nice glove defensively at shortstop.
I think
he's
you're right.
A below average hitter. He'll have his moments, but he's never going to be, I think, what the Yankees thought he would be multiple years ago. Now, let's be fair. This day has been a lot about bashing Juan Soto, and nobody has bashed Juan Soto more than this man. This is a man who drove to Queens the night Juan Soto signed to mock his new home, to mock the chop shops, to mock Queens. This man is more obsessed with Juan Soto than anybody on the planet. So, ladies and gentlemen, John and Masbeth, the floor is yours, sir.
The LOL Mets are back. The S Show is Citi Field. Flushing is back. Juan Soto, just like I said, he shut his mouth. Don't complain. Turned his back to the media. It is on. It is on. It is on. The Yankee faithful has broken Juan Soto into pieces, into the damn coward that we know he is. And this is just the beginning of the end of Juan Soto as a damn good baseball player.
It's too early.
Right?
Way too early for that.
It's never too early. It was never too early for Albert Pujols. Okay? This is the beginning of the end. That money-hungry scum only cared about one thing, and that was cashing Steve Cohen's damn checks. His damn family cared about one thing, and that's, you know, the clothing allowance, the suites, the premium tickets, the security. All they cared about was just milking Steve Cohen like a damn cow for every damn penny that they can get, and they got it, and they committed fraud, and they're running away with the money, and they're going off into the sunset laughing their asses off, knowing damn well they committed a damn heist.
All right, John, thank you very much for your call. See, today is about restraint.
Mm.
I showed a lot of restraint with John and Masbeth, and I showed a lot of restraint with Tommy when he gave me this L. Today is a day for the Knick fan, which I respect.
Uh-huh.
And as much as some may not like it, today's a day for the Yankee fan because they wanted this against Soto. Now, it's a small battle in a long war, clearly, but in this tiny little battle, the Yankee fan gets their laugh.
Of course they do.
Now, can that change immediately? Absolutely.
Right, and it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. But that's, but John, you know.
It's the middle of May.
Say what you got to say, bro. That's what it comes down to. We'll come back with your calls. Plus, are we already done with Russell Wilson? I have been to 11 Mets games this season. 11. Okay. When Sean Morash is not with me, I am 8-0. When Sean Morash is with me, I'm 0-3.
Jeez, Sean.
Is that not unbelievable?
You want to head up the Fenway this weekend, everybody?
I mean, my God, 8-0 watching the Mets without Sean, 0-3 at ballparks with Sean.
That's so incredible.
So the moral of the story is, I know you really like my seats at Citi Field, but I think it's over, bro.
Oh, come on. I got to get one more crack, don't I?
Should I give him one more crack?
Yeah, you got to make sure it's not like a, it just, it could be chance.
Could be.
Right, it but if it's, you know, you get four, that's a good number of games.
All right. That's fair enough. I'll give you one more crack at it. I'm not sure which game, but 8-0 without you, 0-3 with you. Now, before we get back to your calls, obviously a lot of Knicks, a lot of Juan Soto, Mets, Yankees, the fallout of the Subway Series. Juan Soto hates the Mets. He wants to be back with the Yankees, all that crap. Am I crazy to say? Because I want to be respectful. I want to be respectful of your football team. Mm-hmm. I know you guys love the Giants, and I'm actually wearing a giant colored L right now, and I want the Giants to be good. I really don't have a negative bone with the New York Giants. But am I the only one that finds Russell Wilson to be completely obnoxious?
I mean, he is everywhere, dude.
He's not just everywhere. He's sitting courtside. This, to me, blew my mind. You tell me, as the former athlete that's been able to do a lot of things as an active player, he's courtside at a Knicks playoff game wearing a Giants jacket.
Right, that was the worst part for
who
me.
Who does that?
I was like, you're wearing a Giants jacket? I mean, like, nobody on. Knows who you are? Is that Russell Wilson? Oh, yeah, it's definitely Russell Wilson. He's got a giant jacket on.
He's got a giant jacket. He's at, like, the Met Gala. He's at the Yankee game the other night wearing a number 3 Wilson Yankees jersey, which is crazy to me. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah. Tiki, did you hear that part?
What's that?
What number Russell Wilson had on the back of his Yankee jersey?
Number 3?
Yeah. Babe Ruth number? You're going to wear your own number. You can't put Wilson on the back of it.
Did he put Wilson on the
it
back?
It said Wilson over the 3 on a Yankee jersey. Mm. That's an oversight. You can't have that happen.
You know what, bro? Like, if this
plus, because he's trying to be a New Yorker and trying to be seen as a New Yorker, but he's stepping on some faux pas.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Like, if that was the only thing he did over the last 2 weeks is wear a number 3 Wilson Yankee jersey, I'd be like, eh, it's stupid, whatever. It's everything. He's at Knick games. He's at the Yankee games. Like, dude, you haven't played here yet.
Right.
Like, you literally, you may never play here. Like, it is possible that Jackson Dart just takes the job in camp. I'm not saying it's likely, but it can happen. Whoa. This guy's been to more playoff games for non-football teams than he'll ever play for the actual New York Giants.
Yeah, but I think the challenge is that he's always wanted to be a New Yorker. And so how does he, I think, and he knows his time here could be limited. So how does he make himself a New Yorker? And that's by being everywhere that New Yorkers are. Met Gala,
you know,
Yankees game, Subway Series, like all of that. It's what you do. But I think what he's not understanding is that New York is not like Denver or Seattle. You have to earn it here.
He's done nothing here.
You have to earn it. You are not going to be loved simply because people see you and know your name. You have to be great. So and if you're not, they will run you out of here and boo you out of here in a heartbeat.
100%. The one guy who did it, and I don't even think he did it nearly as much as Russ, but came here with love, and the circumstances were different, was Aaron Rodgers. Because when he first got here, he did a lot of New York events.
Yeah.
But I think the difference was, A, he was guaranteed to be the starter. There wasn't someone breathing down his neck.
Aaron Rodgers is also a Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback that many of us of this generation have seen play and played against. So it Russell Wilson is a journeyman.
No, I agree.
He's been on 3 teams
who's
in the last
not,
four teams, right? In the last 4 years.
And he's not guaranteed to play.
Right. So I don't know. It just
you agree with me though. It's obnoxious.
It's just annoying.
It's annoying. He's everywhere. Annoying. Like, I don't mind, like, athletes being everywhere. Because right. I agree. When Rodgers was here, I was all good with it. I think it's like, this guy hasn't been good for years.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fill-in, basically, look, until Jackson Dart is ready.
Look,
and he's out there like, yeah, look at me. I'm
if
Russell
he's
Wilson.
Great, we'll say, you know what? I'm glad that he was, you know, been around and he embraced New York. But he still has to do that.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done it yet. And we don't know. He hasn't really done it in any of his last three stops.
No. That's your quarterback, Sean. That's your guy.
Well, for now. I mean, I would say this.
He doesn't think that.
The Russell Wilson thing, I think, would be bothering me a lot more if they didn't draft Jackson Dart. Mm. I think I'm just swallowing it right now.
Because you know it's short term.
Yeah, because ultimately we're going to get to that cut in the road where, I mean, look, best case scenario, it doesn't happen this year, and Russell has some amazing year. I'm not banking on that.
But that's
you eventually get the Jackson Dart. So
that's the opposite to me. The fact that they've already drafted his replacement
right.
makes it even more embarrassing.
Yeah, I think
like,
thing,
what are we doing, bro?
And here's the problem. Like you said, you want to go to a bunch of events, I'm fine with that. You want to end up sitting courtside, enjoy the moment while the Knicks, fine. The Giant jacket's too much. You're going out of your way for people to look at you. I'm sorry, I still come back to this. Sunglass indoor people, too. Never trust them. Russell Wilson is a sunglasses indoors guy at MSG.
Right.
For that point alone, I'm a little skeptical that he's my quarterback right
hey
now.
Hey guys, Russell here.
At what point do the Knicks say, no?
I don't know.
Like, no, you bro, we've already given you like three games. No.
He is still a star.
Right.
Like, national football star. And so, that's important for the Madison Square Garden. Right, to have people who are known to be seen courtside.
But don't you think they're turning celebrities away at this point in the postseason? Because it is a very hot ticket. Like certain celebrities go to the second row or the third row. Howard Stern recently said he'd be caught dead before he sat second row at Madison Square Garden. Like, isn't Russell Wilson becoming like a third row or sorry we don't have a seat for you kind of guy?
The Ciara thing elevates him, though.
Yeah.
That's why if he was married to somebody else, that original woman in the draft night that was making the weird face, Ciara helps.
That's a fair
Let's
point.
Ride.
That's a fair point.
Let's ride.
Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Gabe.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. So, look, you guys are talking about Soto looking miserable this series. I just wanted to say, the real reason that he looked miserable is that the Mets wouldn't let him fly the private jet from Queens to the Bronx. All right, traffic is really tough. So I get it. I feel his pain. But trolling Soto is not the reason that I called. All right, I got a chance to go to last night's game, and it was truly an amazing atmosphere. Okay, part one of the Mets World Series was a special event. All right, so a few things. First, I love how Tommy has been managing expectations for weeks. He knew how embarrassing it would be to lose the series at the stadium to the Yankees after luring Soto there, so he had to get the copium started early. All right, I also wanted to say that a prime difference between Yankees fans and Mets fans was that Yankees fans obsessed over the success and failures of Soto, and the Mets fans, as always in little brother fashion, obsessed over the successes and failures of the Yankees, all right? The Hawk, Tua, and Grimace Mets are the epitome of little brother, especially when considering that phrase probably came from a Mets fan. To quote the not-so-great Robert Sala, the wolf does not concern itself with the thoughts of the sheep. New York is a Yankees town. No casino or $750 million generational talent or overly sexualized mascot is ever going to change that. You want the title of Kings of New York? Come and take it. But don't think a body blow is going to be enough to knock down the Goliath Yankees, period.
Nice.
That's very well done there, Gabe.
Nice.
Think that was pre-written? Think he prepared that one?
Good. I mean, a lot of people call him pre-write.
No, I'm not criticizing it.
Some radio hosts pre-write their whole show.
That's true. I've heard that. Now, we have a legend who wrote out his monologue, but after that, it was all spur of the moment. That's, of course, the great Steve Summers, and you could download his podcast. Mm-hmm. Me, here, you, there, wherever you download your podcasts. Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. Hey, Matt.
Evan, I really need a shoulder to cry on. You left the line open for the Nets fans after the McCall trade, and I've been waiting for the perfect moment to call, and I just can't take it anymore. I need to speak to the leader of the coalition as a member of the coalition because it just hurts so bad to see Mikal Bridges single-handedly bullying Boston and helping carry the Knicks to a conference finals. It hurts. And as the leader of the coalition, I want to ask you, I just need to ask you how it feels to know that you're going to go down in mediocrity for the next 15 years, respectfully, as a loser Nets fan, and you will never feel the Nets become the heartbeat of New York City, because the Knicks are dudes, they're dogs, they're going to do damage.
I felt this the entire time!
Nets still in the league.
I knew he wasn't a real Nets fan.
He tried, he almost got you.
He almost got me! Look, you don't have to believe me. Okay, everyone has a right to say Evan's full of crap. He's taking copium. He's coping. I'm over the Mikal Bridges trade.
Yeah.
Mikal Bridges was barely on the Nets. He wasn't here long. And also, like, he didn't do anything for my team. You know, we've talked about Juan Soto a lot. Juan Soto did something for the New York Yankees. Mikal Bridges didn't do anything for us. They were in the playoffs one time. That playoff run was set up by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It wasn't set up by him. So the way I view Mikal Bridges is that he's just the guy on the Knicks. And I hope that those picks help the Nets build a team someday. I hope. We're a long ways away from that happening, obviously.
Right. It's a long, long way away from that happening.
Unless they turn pick 27 into something special this year, or they use it to trade up and draft Dylan Harper. Mm. But I do think there comes a time with a player that was on your team where you have to get over it. And I swear on all the basketball gods, personally, yes, I don't root for the Knicks. I'm always honest about that. But the Mikal Bridges thing is just, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Yeah. You got past it.
Do you believe me?
I do.
Thank you.
I do, because there's no vitriol in your voice. There's no snide in your voice. There used to be. You could hear it.
Of course. But
now it's gone.
But you know what I said when you guys made that trade? I mean, if you take away the layers of my disappointment with the Nets, I said he's perfect for your team.
Yeah.
He's not a lead guy. He proved in Brooklyn he isn't a lead guy, but the good news is he doesn't need to be a lead guy.
No, you're right.
So I understood the trade. I thought it was good for the New York Knicks at the time. And so I'm not surprised by what's happening right now. It makes a lot of sense.
Right.
I'm going to spend my night after I watch Mets Red Sox studying more Pacers tape, because I really want to have an IBO prediction ready for Wednesday. That's not based on emotion, but it's based on hard fact. So I'm not even leaning.
I got to go watch the Pacers. I haven't watched them hardly at all.
Got to watch some tape.
Got to watch them just breakdowns.
You know what you got to do? What's you got to get in the lab.
With the pen and a pad?
Yeah. You're used to watching tape.
I know.
So let's watch some damn tape. Sean's got a Cinco de Fivo coming up in a few minutes. We will ask Sal Licata if the NL East is over.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.